Every Second Counts by David Donaghy and read by Russell Bentley for Saga Egmont. Jor-Jor Beats War-War, Winston Churchill. Chapter 1. Wednesday, July 24th, 1940, 4:40 a.m. Billy Houston had no idea what was in the stolen briefcase. He did know he'd been required to kill to get it. Unable to sleep, he rolled out of bed and quietly ferreted in the toolbox in the hall cupboard. It took a chisel and a 4-pound hammer to break the lock. Pulling out the mass of stuff inside, he threw the briefcase, along with the still-attached handcuffs, under his bed and made his way to the kitchen. The dim bulb, combined with limited early morning light, was little help in a basement flat, damp and chilly even in midsummer. So Billy pulled on his raincoat and lit the cooker, hoping to warm the place. Shivering by the heavily barred window, he began to study what he had acquired. Top of the pile was a large lined pad listing a series of handwritten numbers underneath a set of folded maps, 20 in all, covered in symbols, each one broken into squared and numbered sections. The first showed the east coast of Kent, from Dover to the Thames estuary. Others went all the way past Portsmouth and Plymouth. The rest covered the inland areas, the various towns and cities of southern England, from East Anglia to Bristol. Concentrating on the one covering the beaches to the north of Dover, he studied the mass of neatly inked signs. These were overlain with thick, scribbled pencil marks, arrows and numbered circles, which made no sense to him. As the sun rose to shed light into the street of five-story houses, he focused on the permanent markings. Tiny skull and crossbones denoted minefields, and these he recognized, symbols he had seen in Great War as a sergeant in the Highland Light Infantry. This pointed him to the probable meaning of the others, like the trench systems on the heights overlooking Dover Harbour. He felt a growing sense of excitement at what he might have, though it was mixed with frustration. Even after an hour, he had failed to solve the mystery of the penciled notations, which matched the figures on the pad. At the sound of movement from the next-door bedroom, he flipped over the topmost map, shoving it underneath the pile. Gingerly, he ran a hand over the painful patches on his face, wondering how bad they looked. It had been a ferocious scrap in that narrow hallway, as tough as any he had fought as a youngster in the streets of Glasgow or as more recent battles against the East End Jews. As a fight, it had been more like the cramped and murderous kill-or-be-killed struggles he had experienced in the desperate closing battles of 1918. His victim had been fit for his age, but the briefcase attached to his wrist had hampered him as he tried to match Billy blow for blow. It took time to create enough space to swing the lead pipe and get a whack to the cheek, then finally fell his opponent with one to the forehead. Having already carried out the planned burglary, the briefcase looked like a bonus until Billy, just getting his breath back, could find no keys in the groaning victim's pocket. Livid, feeling thwarted, he'd always had a red mist temper. He cracked down on the man's head to shut the sod up. A search of the garden shed yielded only a small pruning saw, which proved to be useless in getting the briefcase off the arm. It tore the skin, but the bone he had to stamp on to break. The saw, lead pipe, and blood-stained gloves had ended up in the River Thames as he made his way back across the Lambeth Bridge to Pimlico. Only when he got back did he realize the bloodied instruments, hidden inside his raincoat, had left stains on the lining. Now, folded on the back of his chair, those marks were hidden. Bettina pottered out of her bedroom, frowning at the still-lit cooker. Ever the tidy one, she lifted the coat to hang it in the hall, eyes wide with hurt when he snapped at her to leave it alone. Having examined the scratches on his face, she cast her eyes over the objects on the kitchen.